I want to apply some basic economic principles to the oil market. And so if you look at the table, I made some assumptions. These are not based too much in the real world, maybe a little bit, but not too much. And what I'm talking about is the ability of countries to produce oil and the average cost per barrel to produce it. And I'm going to just, as a hypothetical example, suppose that Saudi Arabia can produce 100 barrels of oil at a cost of $10 per barrel. Then there's some other country that can produce 100 barrels at a cost of $30 a barrel, maybe Venezuela. The U.S. can produce 100 barrels at $35 a barrel. Some other country can produce 100 barrels at $40 a barrel. I don't know, maybe Russia. Another country can produce 100 barrels at $50 a barrel. Okay, so you have this set up on the supply side of the market. And again, it's all hypothetical. Now, suppose that the total world demand is 400 barrels, of which U.S. demand is 110 barrels. That is, the whole world as a whole consumes 400 barrels of oil. The U.S. consumes 110. What will be the price of oil? Well, the price of oil is going to have to be high enough to pull in enough supply to meet the demand for 400 barrels. So we're certainly going to take the Saudi oil and the first row of other oil and the U.S. oil and the second row of other oil. And that gets us to 400 barrels. But there's no reason to tap into the $50 a barrel oil if the world demand is exactly 400 barrels. So if total world demand is 400 barrels, the price of oil would be $40 a barrel. And every country that supplies oil would get $40 a barrel. The Saudis would get a huge profit. The last supplier of the last 100 barrels would just break even. The U.S. would get a small profit. And the other country that can produce at $30 a barrel would also get a profit. So the answer to the first question is, if we assume that total world demand is 400 barrels, then the price will be $40 a barrel. And the world doesn't really care that much how much of that demand is U.S. and how much of that demand is other countries. It's total world demand of 400 barrels that determines the price. How much of it is U.S. doesn't really matter. Now, the next question is sort of tricky. It says, are we self-sufficient in oil? And a lot of politicians would make it sound like the reason that the U.S. is not self-sufficient in oil is that our demand is 110 and we only produce 100, and that's why we're not self-sufficient in oil. But that's not really what's going on here. What's going on here is there's this world market, and you can think of all four of the producers, the first four lines in the table, each of them pouring 100 barrels of oil into this world oil market. And then the U.S. pulls 110 barrels out. And this whole notion of self-sufficiency really doesn't mean anything. We don't know whether what we're pulling out is Saudi oil or other oil or U.S. oil. It doesn't really matter. It's this, there's this, these 400 barrels that are all in the same place, and then we take 110 barrels out of that. This whole notion of self-sufficiency doesn't mean much. But that'll become even more clear as I change the example a little bit. The next question I ask is, suppose that world demand goes up by 20 barrels. What will be the price of oil? So if world demand goes up by 20 barrels, world demand will be 420 barrels, and that's above the 400 barrels mark. And so that what that'll do is that will bring in that in order to get the new production to come in, we have to raise the price to $50 a barrel. So now world demand of to reach world demand of 420 barrels, that is 400 plus the additional 20, 420, the new price has to be $50 a barrel. That brings in the last line of producers, and it raises the profits for all the other lines. So at $50 a barrel, the Saudis get even more profit, and some of the other countries get more profit, and the U.S. producers get more profit. So that's what happens if world demand goes up by 20 barrels. Okay, now let's suppose the total world demand is 390 barrels, of which U.S. demand is 100 barrels. So let's go back to something like that where the demand isn't, now it's not over 400 barrels, it's just a little under 400 barrels. And what is the price of oil? Well, the price still has to be $40 a barrel, because if it were $35 a barrel, we'd only get the first three lines of production, which is 300. So to get the 390 barrels, the price has to be at 40. So that's the price. Now the U.S. demand is 100 barrels. So are we self-sufficient? Well, if we can produce 100 barrels and our demand is 100 barrels, then the politicians would say, yes, we're self-sufficient. But that's not really true in the sense that we're still dealing with the world price of oil. That is, we're still paying $40 a barrel for oil. We're still part of the world market. We're still pouring our supplies in, taking our demands out, and as part of the world market, we're paying $40 a barrel. So it really hasn't made any difference. Moreover, if world demand goes up by 20 barrels, then world demand will be 410 barrels, and world demand will then be above the point where it triggers the most expensive oil coming to the market, and the price goes up to $50. So even though the U.S. is producing the same amount that it consumes, as world demand goes up, the price goes up, and we would still be subject to paying $50 for oil, even in this example where we're hypothetically self-sufficient. So even if we're self-sufficient, we still could be paying $50 a barrel, and we still could be buying an awful lot of Saudi oil. There's nothing to stop us from buying Saudi oil and selling some of our oil to other countries. It's all the same world market. It doesn't matter. So let's say we say this to politicians that we're not really self-sufficient. They say, okay, well, we're going to really clamp down here. We're going to have the U.S. consume no oil and then see what that does to the Saudis. Okay, well, suppose we do that. If we consume no oil and the rest of the world consumes 300 barrels, then the market clearing price looks like $35. That is, to bring all the production that online that you need to meet world demand, you've got to have a price of $35. And if the U.S. consumes no oil, well, we get to sell our oil for $35, and that's nice. But Saudi Arabia and the other producers get to sell theirs at a profit because they're selling this at $35, and it costs them less to produce it. So we really haven't accomplished much by driving our oil consumption to zero. We haven't driven Saudi Arabia out of the market, and the world price of oil hasn't really collapsed. All right, next, that wasn't much fun. Next, let's say we consume 100 barrels of Saudi oil, but refuse to consume Saudi oil. Then surely that's got to do something to the Saudis. So let's go back to the case where total world demand is 390 barrels and our demand is 100 barrels. Well, guess what? The world price of oil is still $40, and it just doesn't matter the fact that we don't consume Saudi oil. If we don't consume Saudi oil, somebody else will. And it absolutely makes no difference to the world price or to what the Saudis get. So what's the bottom line here? The bottom line is that a lot of politicians complain about Saudi Arabia's foreign policy for one reason or another. They think that Saudi Arabia supported terrorists or Saudi Arabia's not on our side on some issue or other. And they try to link that to oil conservation. But the fact is that Saudi Arabia's foreign policy is a foreign policy issue, and you have to talk about that to the Saudis. If you have an issue with the way that the Saudis are conducting foreign policy or are cooperating or not cooperating with the war on terror, then you just have to bring that subject up directly. The issue of oil conservation has nothing to do with it. For the United States to conserve oil isn't going to make a much of a difference to the way things work in Saudi Arabia. It'll make a some difference by reducing the world oil price and therefore reducing Saudi profits, but that's actually a pretty small overall effect. And in particular, it's important to realize that even though that you can't just look at the difference between what the U.S. produces and what it consumes as a measure of our impact on the oil market. Our impact on the oil market is more our overall demand relative to the overall oil market. And it's not as if we can designate in the world oil market, well, this is going to be U.S. oil, and this is going to be Saudi oil, and this is other oil, and this is what's going to happen to it. Just think of the world oil market as this gigantic lake, and we stick our straw into the lake, and you know, we either suck more oil out or less oil out through that straw, and in a small indirect way that affects the volume of what Saudi Arabia can sell, or the price of what they can sell it. It doesn't affect the volume that they can sell, but it affects the price at which they can sell it. But it's a pretty small effect, at least unless we do some really, really dramatic changes to our demand for oil and to the rest of the world's demand for oil. So again, the bottom line is that oil economics is not a foreign policy lever. We cannot use oil policy to affect foreign policy. That's what I call Oil Econ 101.